put on our PJs, build a blanket fort. Let's go inside, get cozy, comfortable. It's not a coincidence, it's a metaphor about how we come together and build a world. And when the convo ends, we break it down and begin again. Yeah. Sit down, tune in, crank it. It's time to bring your own blanket. Blanket Ninjas.
Welcome back, listeners. It is so good to be with you again. This episode we have...
Y'all, we got Suzanne Conrad in the house. She is a...
No big deal.
An author that is just the most amazing book I've read this year so far. She's one of my teachers. She's my teacher's teacher, in fact. So you're my grand teacher. And I've been blessed with being a part of Suzanne's body of work for a long time, Light Your Leadership, as well as Maria.
True.
Yeah, you did. You did a lot of the Light Your coach training this past year.
I did.
Yeah. And so we've been very blessed and even more blessed to have you on the show, Suzanne. Welcome.
Welcome, Suzanne.
Oh, thank you. It's so fun. I hope that at some point your viewers get to see how powerful and feminine and masculine you both are, like sitting there side by side, yoked with your helicopter fighter pilot headsets. It's like super cool. So I'm really glad to be here, and I'm happy to share with your listeners things that might be of importance to them today.
Thank you. Would you tell us, just maybe, I introduced you in the way that I know you. Well, you would tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself in case they don't know who you are.
Yeah. So some of the things that I'd like to share is, in Light Year, we talk about how a human being is both a particle and a wave, just how light is both a particle and a wave. So my particle, I'm a 61-year-old woman. I'm married. I have 4 adult children ranging in age from 25 to 40. I have 2 grandchildren. I currently live in southwestern Utah, not too far from Zion National Park. And I am married to Brett Conrad, who recently became a pilot. So I've been enjoying our Mother Earth from a perspective of about 9,000 feet, which is far more intimate and tangible than the road warrior Suzanne of yore that experienced the earth from 30,000 feet, you know, my commercial flying. And then the light, the wave that I am is, so for new listeners, it's like the energy, you could think of it, or the part of us that exists beyond time or space. So the wave that I am is very much committed to the generation that the two of you are and your listeners. I have great faith that this generation is the generation that takes us across a bridge of a number of harrowing and narrowing circumstances and choices. And I'd really love to be of assistance to that specific generation. I feel like that's a large part of my purpose. So that's who I am. And I took years to become an author. I had a goal to write a book and have it published in 2012. So it happened in 2021, which makes me dyslexic for my own goal. But I got her done. So I'd love to share some of the things that I feel would help people your age and in your stage of really purposeful growth.
Yes, please.
That. Yes. So yes, listeners, please. Listeners, just so you know, Suzanne's book is called Get There Now. Like right now.
Yeah.
So you need to get the book right now to get there now.
I'll tell you a story. We were traveling was it in December? Maybe it was January. Anyway,
it was Thanksgiving.
It was Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we were coming back from Thanksgiving.
Well, I was walking past an airport bookstore and was like, what is that yellow book? Oh my God, that's Suzanne's book, which is so cool because I didn't, you know, I knew that it was out and hadn't yet ordered it yet. And then it just appeared in my walkway. And I was so happy to find it, and I got to buy it at the airport. So you could find it at your local airport if you're listening to this podcast while traveling.
Yeah, it's available on the local airport. I did work with another wonderful yogi, Daniel McCall, and we did the audio version. So I got to do all of my bad accents. And I have to say, Janan, I detect, even with your Palestinian roots, I detect a small Southern accent. Just a tiny one.
It ain't small, girl. It's not big. I have to cover it up most days and speak. No, I don't speak like that, but my mom is a white lady, and my grandma in particular was a country white lady. And so I come from country Texas. I'm eighth generation Texan on my mom's side.
You're very eighth Texan. Generation Texan?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay, that's awesome. Because my grandkids are one quarter Sri Lankan and lots of other things, and they live in Mississippi. And so they say, Grandma Suzanne. So Ryder says Suzanne the way you did. So anyway, so let's talk a little bit about Get There Now. So as Maria said, the now is about being in the now. And that's the access to the past, if there's something to heal and clear or unlearn. And the now is also the access to our future. And the entire timeline of both our particle and our wave as a human being exists in the now. It's partly since you all, you know, read the book, it was partly for me to be playful with Ram Dass, who I had the privilege of meeting, because he was the incredibly contributing, serving, honoring soul and author of Be Here Now. Mm. And so I wanted to do a little bit of a play off it. But really, for me, there is a place where I'm not knowing what to say. I'm pausing so that I can listen for exactly what to say. When I rest in the there is always there, and it guides us. And each human being has access to their own there. So for me, for instance, there is when I'm leading a high-end corporate offering, and I need to really listen and navigate with inner hearing and use my body as a tool and be able to access intuition, I go to my office, is what I say. So my office is there. For me also in this moment, there is a place where I am inside a circle of knowing what I want. I'm above the line of choice. I'm not in reaction, and I'm in my own I am. So those are the three primary geometries of light year, which we could talk about at length if we wanted to. Yet perhaps I feel like with your generation, y'all know you know the difference between being lost and feeling purposeful. Let me say that again in more clear language. You feel the difference between being lost and purposeless, and when you're there and you're connected. So Get There Now is a book with a set of tools to help people spend more time in the now and more time there.
I love that. I love that. And this reminded me of a conversation I had with a senior manager at work where, you know, a woman, younger, in comparison to the older executives, you know, white male and so on, she is up for partner this year. So, you know, there's like all of these things that she's navigating and working on getting promoted and all the things that she's involved in. And I asked her how that experience is for her. And she said, if I'm honest with you, I love working with the junior practitioners because this generation is so interesting and it's so polar opposite to what I'm walking into or what I'm trying to walk into. And she says that navigating how to integrate all of this energy from these newer generation into, you know, the quote unquote old school way of doing business and old school way of thinking has been a challenge that she's really excited about. Mm. And in that she is still figuring out, you know, what that actually looks like, because it's still pretty undefined. You know, it's still in the process of being created. And I love that, you know, you picture the office, your office. I usually view it as a library. Mm. And
The reason why
is because, you know, in a library is at least in my library, is like a pretty chill, cool place where everything is clear, organized, and whatever I need, I know where it is. And there's like multiple sections. It's pretty organized. You know, it's just there, like easily accessible. It's all there.
That's a really beautiful metaphor, Maria, of being able to have access to our records, our books of being, to be able to be in a place that's both intimate and limitless. And that does exist within us. And I feel that your generation has a greater percentage of people that are coming in with a sense of being already resourced to be able to deal with the world in the state that it's in, instead of having to, prove. There's a way where a lot of y'all just can stand and go, oh, I know what to do. It's really delightful. There was a colleague that I have today that when I was coaching a large publicly traded company, a wonderful woman, First Nations woman of Canada, and she created a declaration in her Light Your Work that said, I reinvent business by being completely myself. And so this was an example of this generation of young people going to their and getting access to those books, to that library that you're talking about, Maria. Cool.
What does your day look like, Junon? What's your metaphor?
Am I there? Oh, it's a party.
It's a party!
I was like, while you were saying that, I was kind of laughing and you know, generating what mine looks like, because I haven't really pointed at that ever. And mine is like, you know, if like a party, almost like a dream where everyone you know is there, but you're all having a good time. And that, like, if I need a little piece of information, I go to, you know, this friend from eighth grade and like, hey, what's up? Can you tell me about that? Or I can go to my cousin, or I can go to you. And yeah, parties are just like popping, you know, like I'm always dancing slightly. There's pleasurable things all around. So I think that's my there, is feeling like connected to humans, and a lot of like wisdom and strength and obviously connection comes from just the other beings that inhabit the planet with me, that we're actually all the same. So I just get to see myself inside of other faces.
I love that I made your party.
I love that. I mean, so that's a really cool and powerful question for your listeners to consider, is what or where is there? Mm-hmm. And allowing that to be a place to return to, because it's one that we create and the one that we imagine, and it's actually very real, as we saw evidenced by how quickly both of you accessed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Question for you, Suzanne. How or what in your experience, because I know you've worked with, I don't know, thousands of people, probably maybe more. In your experience of dealing with different types of people, different backgrounds at different points in their life, at different points in, you know, society and history and all of these things, is what is their biggest, what's the biggest obstacle that people encounter in accessing their there?
The biggest obstacle that people have in accessing their there is first knowing that they have one. It would be like a child that's being raised in a lonely or sad or neglect or abusive childhood, and they don't know that there's actually a creator that deeply loves them. So they don't know that they're held and that they're precious and that they're important beyond measure. So the biggest obstacle is simply not knowing. Then Maria might ask this, Suzanne, after they know. the next obstacle might be remembering that they can go at any time, at will, even in the middle of a stressful meeting. So for instance, your colleague that's dealing with all this super creative transformation, it might be important for her to know that in a moment of duress, she can go to her there to access her records, her party, her whatever, fill in the blank, that's really gonna give her the information in the now to be able to take the next correct action. So I would say it's about knowing that it's there and knowing that you can ask to have access to it at any time. I didn't know that as a young woman. I needed a teacher to be able to say, yeah, haven't you been going? Don't you know? I'm like, no. It's kind of like if somebody gives you a really good bus pass or something. I didn't know I could go there. You know, it's like that. Does that make sense? I hope I'm being clear.
Yeah, enough. It makes sense.
Because the other thing my teacher, Dorothy Wood Espio, would say is sometimes the most important things are so dead obvious that we don't value them enough to use them. Because we believe there's an incorrect or inherited legacy belief that life has to be hard. Instead of like, you know, in the original Matrix, and I am grateful that they, you know, did the Matrix Resurrection because I watched that and that was really fun. But in the original Matrix, you know how Trinity, who looks much like you two with her headset, when she needs to learn how to fly a Black Hawk helicopter, she doesn't say, wait, stop the action. I need to go get the manuals. She just downloads it and does it. That's what the there does. That's what the there does.
I love that.
Yeah, I mean, speaking from personal experience, like anytime I experience an obstacle, it's just like the simple matter that I am somehow below the line of choice. And that will just, until I get back up, I'll be stopped. And that, and this is just a fun thing for our listeners. I was prizing or holding valuable cleverness over wisdom for a while. And, you know, living like life is hard and I have to figure it out. And when I'm brilliant, then... you know, I'll know how to go back above the line. But it turned out to be just simple, obvious wisdom that I overlooked. I would just often live with my body budget completed, not enough sleep, eating slightly not healthy one or two times a week, and not exercising. And then those three things was the simple thing that had me easily be like, oh no, like, I don't have a choice. And I would, you know, be in a reaction about everything and then not be able to access my there. And once I realized, it was just an aha moment, like, oh my gosh, I bet if I just took care of my body that I would be above the line of choice and then accessing my there would be easy. It happened. It was so simple and easy.
That's really cool, Janon. You know, a way to think about it for your listeners is like, if you go ahead and just touch your body. And when we consider the word, you know, leadership or even like self-leadership, like this is the ship. This is the prime real estate. This is what we've got on our earthly terrestrial exploration. And Janon, you're right. What did you call it? You had low fuel. What did you say?
My body budget was low. And I'm taking that term out of a book I've been reading lately called How Emotions Are Made. Very great read, as well as your book.
Amazing read.
But yay. A scientist talks about how when our body budget is taxed, it's more challenging to like leap over any sort of mental barriers that are bogging us down. Because they're not different than each other. Body, mind, not different.
So let's take off there for a moment. Let's take a small tangent. So for your listeners, I'm moving from a high stool to standing while I'm doing this, because I want to talk for a moment about what Janon and Maria have presenced, which is unlearning some of the old ways of working. And I mean, at the most fundamental level, that human beings are meant to work sitting, that human beings are meant to work only with their neck up, that human beings are meant to work in silos, that human beings are meant to work in you know, factories, that human beings are meant to work in these very linear ways. And what we actually know is that when people have not biological breaks, but biological integration, being able to move, express, drink water, laugh, listen to a song while they're working, they're going to be liberating their creativity. Now, when I was younger, that, you know, and I started to do those kinds of things, people thought I was crazy, or that, you know, they labeled me that wacky person. But I tell you what, that's how we got the work done of cleaning up a nuclear weapons facility. And so the light year principle that goes along with that is the body is innately intelligent and fun is strategic. So that's how y'all's generation is reinventing work.
You know what? Yes. I just came back from a training in Dallas at work, where I was there, you know, for 3 days or so. And this is like intense leadership training for us. You know, it's like 3 days, our schedules are completely packed, everything's scheduled, like go to this class here, you're meeting with these people here, these are your electives. And I noticed that this time they had mindful reflect and recharge sessions. And it was all about like introspective journaling as you are coloring in community, as you are solving a jigsaw puzzle, as you are walking, you know, like by the lake or outside, sitting outside by a fire. And what a difference it made this time around doing this training instead of, what was it, maybe 3 years ago when I had something similar. Just, I mean, you can even ask Janan just how I came back and how excited I was and how just like, oh my God. And I could not stop talking about it because I really felt super recharged. Yeah. And like, you know, just like super lit up, and it made a huge difference. Like I made great connections. Like I got to connect with people at work in a human, like at a human level. Not like, oh great, you're in consulting, what do you do? Oh great, what kind of clients do you work with? Oh, that's cool, what's your degree in? Oh awesome, okay, so that's what you specialize in? Like there was none of that, you know what I mean?
See, I chose a pathway into the arts because that's how it used to be, and I was like, I do not want that, that is not fun, I will not work in those businessy places. So yeah, she came home and was just so like, guess what I did while I was coloring? And I was like, wait, you were at a management consulting bit training? She's like, yeah. It was so great.
Well, we're so grateful to the people that have been bringing their gifts into those environments and to helping people unlearn patterns. So, you know, however many years ago it was, I guess now 25 years ago, that Dorothy had me unlearn my corporate-y stuff and had me sit in the front row of her training and gave me a box of colored pencils. And I remember being a little like, oh, what's she doing? I'm paying money for, you know, I had that kind of self-talk. Yeah. And she was really leading the frontier that we're now getting to exist in. So dear listeners of this incredible podcast with these beautiful people, these wonderful women, what we want you to know is that as you step into your future from what has been this, there's an energetic residue that is clinging to humanity from the pandemic that I identify and have learned from my teacher's successor. It's this pandemonium, this unexpressed panic, like, what if it doesn't work? This waiting for things to pan out. So that word pan, which means across, also is related to the god of Pan, which is part goat, part human. And so as you said, Janan, you really want people to be all human. Part of what we're doing is recovering our humanity as we step out of that period of time and into the new in a new way. And what it's going to take is probably a lot of coloring, a lot of music, and a lot of breath, and a lot of ensuring that our body budget doesn't get too low.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Another way to think of it is that our immune system literally is our, some people might say aura. Some people, like in the body system I practice called Mia, it would be the kinesphere. It's the space around me that I move within, mm-hmm. and being able to clear that and change that. So what I've noticed is that as people are gathering again post-COVID, they were forced to recognize they always had a whole life. Now, the two of you know that before. We have health goals, we have career goals, we have personal goals, we're an integrated being. Yet a lot of workplaces weren't seeing that. And of course, they had to see everybody's dogs and kids. they had to see everybody's dirty dishes.
Oh, it got real.
It got really real. And so in that, you know, can we retain the blessing while we come back together, you know?
Yes. Yeah. You know, one thing I'd love to add to that I'm hearing is, they're probably the majority of the folks that will listen to this podcast will like jive on all these similar things. And there might be folks out there who that, you know, I know on a personal level that the past 3 years has been so detrimental that even the suggestion to keep your body budget in balance is like met with a challenge, you know, that there's just like not enough money to go around for rent, or a lot of abundance physically. And to those folks, if you know them or you're one of them listening, I'd just like to say, like, there's always a choice to be made, and it can be start small. And if the attention is on, what's the word I'm looking for? If your attention is on,
maybe lack. Is that what you're pointing to, Janon? Like lack, well, if ceiling.
Yeah, if the attention is on lack, it's not. You know, it's gonna continue that way. Yet if the attention is on, just like, what can I do right now, in terms of healing myself, providing myself with, you know, what my body needs, that is a step in the right direction. Because that really helped me out when I very, very first started this work of yoga. I was in a completely different financial situation than I am now. I had just like got my life together. I'd been homeless for a bit in my early adulthood. So just once a day doing some yoga, even if it was not at a studio, just like moving my body, committing to that once a day changed my life. So yeah, for anyone listening that's like, well, I don't have all these resources that you might have, you've got the resource of choice. And that's what I want to add there is there's a lot of unlearning for me to have done at that time of my life in terms of, you know, what I thought was possible.
Yeah, could I give some concrete examples to your listeners? Because a lot of my life, like what you're saying, Janon, it came from not necessarily having resources, you know, being a single parent. And so here's four resources. So Dorothy would talk about how there are four forms of prayer. So if everybody could just, you know, stay out of church and just listen to me for a second, if that's reactivating to hear that word prayer. So the first, and none of them take money. Mm-hmm. So the first one would be supplication. So Janon's talking about that. That's movement. So walking, doing yoga. So instead of being on a Zoom call, you know, get on a phone and do a walk and talk. But so supplication, being in nature, moving our body. The second one would be petition, which is writing or drawing. So, you know, get yourself a pencil, which doesn't cost too much, and a piece of paper, and journal. Write, express yourself, do a gratitude journal, draw a picture, do the power of knowing what you want exercise where you draw a circle and write everything that you want inside the circle and everything you don't want outside the circle so that you give yourself the sacred geometric protection of the circle. So supplication, petition, and then there's the spoken word. So there's singing, or speaking. So like in my book, I had this thing, you know, I'm 20, I'm pregnant, I'm taking care of Mrs. Moss, I don't have any money, I'm still in college, I'm doing my best to get, you know, loans and different things. But I sing this little song that goes, every day, oh, every way I feel I'm growing, day by day. And I'd sing myself to sleep instead of cry myself to sleep. And then the third one would be silence. So both of you are, I believe, teachers and practitioners of meditation. So silence can also be available to us. So those would be the four forms of connecting to there that are nothing about money and always available and inside our choice.
Yes. Mm.
Yes, thank yes, you. Yes, yes. You know, I'm going to share with you, Suzanne, what I got out of reading your book. And I want to share this with our listeners so that they know what's available. They might have other revelations, you know, other insights. And for me, one of the coolest things about reading your book is, yes, I've done some trainings with you. You know, I've heard you speak. I've trained with some of the light year coaches as well. And so I was, you know, pretty familiar with the work itself. And getting to read, you know, your background, your life stories as you were telling them, and how you got those insights and how you arrived at, okay, here's the tool. you know, was really interesting, because one of the things that got super clear to me is that, especially with the word or the concept of unlearning, is that there is a choice, right? Things happen. We have ways of doing things. Some work, some don't. And we have a choice what we keep and what we don't. And what works now, and maybe that doesn't work tomorrow. And then we have the choice to recreate that tomorrow. And I think that's really freeing. And I don't think, I know it's really freeing. And it's really exciting to, you know, see my life in that light, knowing that things are going great now. They might not tomorrow. And if they don't, it's okay. Because I know that I can create something even better from that. So, A, thank you. And I appreciate you writing the book. I'm not sure if that was your intention to do it. I really enjoyed reading it. And I want to, and B, I want to say that to our listeners so that they know, you know, it's a lighthearted read. It's a great read. It's entertaining. And
very well written.
Very well written. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, well written, of course. Also Audible. You know, if you're an Audible or audiobook fan, I did enjoy your accents. And I did enjoy, and I did enjoy the singing as well. So thank you. It was overall a great experience.
Yeah,
for me.
So go buy the book or come borrow my copy.
Oh, see? Sharing is caring, yes. Janon. That's awesome. You can put it in one of those sweet little libraries that people have in their front yards, you know, where they come and they drop a book. And
yes, yes.
Yeah. It's been so wonderful to be able to talk with you and to honestly to be aware that it's working. You know, it writing a book, I mean, if it would have been easy for me, I would have done it in my 30s. You know, audio verbal expression has been more natural. Mm. And I could say to anyone who's considering writing as one of their four forms of prayer, like, what you write will be different than what you say. And you'll learn something about yourself by doing it. And so Get There Now is really more for this generation. It's certainly not a memoir. I'm not famous enough. I'm not Michelle Obama. You know, it needed to be lighter and funnier. Mm-hmm. And tool based. So that was the intention.
Well, thanks for the advice. I am writing a book right now. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate that.
Oh, good. Yes. Okay. And I bet a lot of your listeners are, as they should. Well, hi, puppy.
Yeah. He just chased the cats away.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, the cats are like, yeah, I want to come be part of the podcast.
One thing I'd like to, because we're nearing the end of the episode. It is so short amount of time, and yet also an amazing, invaluable 30 minutes. One thing I want to say before we complete, though, is for our listeners to check out getting themselves on lightyear.co. It is the Lightyear platform. You can become a member. We're both members. We get a lot of use out of it. There's free light hours over the course of the next few Fridays. We're probably going to release this episode in a week, but I think there will still be like three left. So those are with you, Suzanne Wright, and Nancy Perry, mm-hmm. who a lot of y'all listeners know.
Listeners, you know her.
You can just register for those for free. They're great. Like, it's 1 hour. It's a hour power of transformation in a community. That's the tagline I'll use. And also then there is the Lightyear level 1 and level 2 immersion coming on the April 20th. So if you've liked what you've heard so far, and you want to do some of your own goals and vision work in your own life, that is the way to go. The structures that get set up in level 1 and level 2 are fan-freaking-tastic. I have accomplished so many cool things from doing, I think I've done each of them like 5 times. And so so great. So Suzanne's book, lightyear.co, those are what we recommend to y'all as your something to look up when you stop listening to this podcast.
Do it.
Oh, well, thank you both so much. And we welcome everyone to lightyear.co, regardless of any of their, you know, background. My daughter Hunter has really helped me to dive more deeply into the LGBTQ community and the BIPOC community and just the whole awareness. It was so sweet last year. She said, "Mommy, I know you're super cool and you're still unlearning being a white supremacist." I'm like, ouch.
Hunter.
You know, I mean, like, honestly, if you can give birth to people that talk to you that way in love, that's how we do the intergenerational healing we've all come for.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's just take care of each other.
Yes. I love Hunter, by the way. Shout out to Hunter. Yes. Hunter's going to come fly to Houston and do teacher training.
She is?
So Maria's most likely also going to do it. So they'll be buddies.
Oh, my God. Oh.
If y'all live Hunter. In Houston, Big Power Yoga is having a teacher training in May. So check it out because Maria's going to be there. Hunter's going to be there. It is a full cast. You got to join us.
Janan is co-leading it. Cast. Nancy's leading it.
All right. Any final completing words to our listeners, to your listeners, Suzanne, the listeners?
It's going to be a bit maybe of a curious one. Mm. But it would be a thank you to those who have gone before, even if we don't agree with them, even if we don't understand everything. Just a way to appreciate those who have gone before us so that we can transform this world and we can do it without revenge or anger or hatred. Mm-hmm. I feel it will give us a better foundation.
Yes.
Hear, hear. Or should I say, they're there.
Snaps. You get snaps for that.
Oh, no.
All right, cool. All right, listeners, thanks so much for making it to the end of the episode.
Love you all. Thank you all. Thank you, Suzanne, again. What a treat. What a treat to have you on.
Yes.
And give our listeners the opportunity to hear from you.
Yes. We'll look forward to having you on again at some point in the future.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, y'all. Have a good day or night or
whenever you're listening to us.
Time of time.
Bye, listeners. Bye, Blanket Ninjas.
BYO Blanket is a production of The Light Generation.
The BYO Blanket jingle was composed and produced by Studio Sassafras Music in Houston, Texas.
And the vocals are by Jessica Zoller. Thanks for listening.